So hello and welcome to another episode of Rock and Roll. I've just realised how fucking rough I sound. I started that. A couple of weeks off because of me, because I'm not well. I'm long COVIDing up. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, not bad. Keeping busy with work. Obviously, cricket's finished. So I'm just doing some. I'm actually taking part in my courses at the minute. And then just football's back, so it's just football games and doing a bit of media stuff there. So. Keeping busy that way.
You're getting very cricket heavy every time I ask you. I'm not impressed.
So it's weird because someone said to me yesterday, and in fact, I know this is not a visual podcast, but I'm wearing it now. So I'm wearing my cricket hoodie at the moment that I never wore at once during the summer because they give me a hoodie when it's the summer, but I don't need it. Now it's winter, I'm wearing it constantly.
So yeah, that's a good idea for cricket wear.
Yep.
I'd say I've not been well. I've barely left house. And on Saturday, we had a gig, a comedy gig. So I was like, right, fuck it. We'll be sat down. It'll only be like an hour. We might as well go. We had a hotel book. So I was like, I can rest in the hotel. So all of Friday, stayed in the hotel. Saturday until the gig, just stayed in the hotel, relaxed, did nothing. I was like, what damage can I do? Turns out a lot. I found out on Sunday, a lot sitting there. Watching a comedy gig and having 2 pints afterwards can fucking kill you. So I'm hanging. So we're going to record this in separate parts because of that. We'll try and knit it all together and hopefully it'll all work well and everything will be great. So should we start a bit of news?
Yeah, crack on.
This is the news. So we'll kick off, first of all, with my usual wading into things on social media that's kicked something off. So on Sunday, you might have to back me up with dates and times because I'm all over the place.
I think it was Sunday, yeah.
Sunday was World Mental Health Day.
Yeah.
And Sam Warburton Academy replied to a question on their Instagram saying, how do they deal with mental health? And a reply came back basically saying, be grateful what you've got. Some people had to go to war kind of thing. Instantly, I saw my ass. So I put a tweet out there with a screenshot of it, which a few people replied to. We had likes, we had retweets on it. As you know, anyone who follows the Rock and Roll account will know I'm very passionate about mental health, and I've been to some pretty shit places. And the reason that I'm often quick to pick it up when a player or a celebrity says it is because when I was at my lowest point, it was seeing players talk about their struggles and the things that they've done that really helps drag me back out. So I wanted to really highlight that and say that I didn't think it was good advice. I didn't think it was a good thing. We weren't really 100% sure who had replied to things, who would put the picture in the comment up. Sam Warburton's DM'd me directly, and he sent me screenshots of an email that he's also sent to somebody else. Now, he's taking full responsibility to it and said that it was a slight misunderstanding on his part, whereby that's a coping mechanism he uses for when he doesn't feel like physically up to doing things and feels like things are getting on top of him. Obviously, he's also said that he maintains his levels of working with people with mental health. He's done work in the past. He's talked about his own mental health issues in the past. He's donated. He talked very personally, to be fair, on the DMs, much more than I expected. He did say he didn't want to address it again publicly and give him more ear, but it was down to us what we wanted to do with the reply. Obviously, I don't want to send the reply out there as a whole because I say you went into some sort of personal things in there. So I just wanted people to know that Sam had responded is a way of where he had perhaps misspoke a little bit and is committed to doing further mental health things in the future. So that's just our nice little start off.
Yep. Right, to the point. I think it was more the case of, like you said, a lot of people seeing it, not necessarily jumping to guns because of something he said, but like you just said, not knowing whether it was done by him or someone who runs the Twitter for the account, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, sorry, the Instagram. So just getting to the bottom of that. But like, I know it was highlighted by other people as well in the case of like, there's players that Sam's played with that have been open about their mental health as well in the past. And it was like a surprise that had it come from him. But everyone's human at the end of the day. And then like, so I'm not saying what he said, I don't think it was necessarily as harsh as it sounded looking at the words. I think like you have to, like the way I took it was, I get where he's coming from, that some people have gone through dark places, but you can't compare dark places, if that makes sense. So one person's dark place in regards to like their mental health is not going to be on comparison to what people went through in the war. But then some people that went through the war could be in a darker place than some people that suffer mental health. So it's all an individual case, if that makes sense. But it's good to know that he's obviously acknowledged it. He's replied to you. I know he's replied to a few other people as well, I believe, to say like, this is where he stands on it. So fingers crossed going forward, it's going to be addressed.
Sorry, but I had major issues then. I'll have to edit this bit out. The dog barked. I went to put on mute and I lost the screen completely. So yeah, and that's the major thing. Like, he said that he's got in contact as well with the person who submitted the question to explain the stance and that he had misunderstood the question.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, because of the way things are with, especially when you're in a dark place, the slightest thing can throw you further down there. And so I say for me, it was sort of players like, and you say players he's played with, so like Tom James in the past, helped me massively. Seeing Phil Steele talk about it, seeing John Kerwin, you know, players who were at the top of their game,
mm-hmm.
you know, players who reached the absolute pinnacle, talk about their mental health and the way they got over it. Especially if you're at the point where you feel sort of, you're somehow weaker, you're somehow not as strong, because you're dealing with these things. Well, actually, if these people can do it on the bigger stage of the world in what's stereotypically, you know, a masculine sport, because that toxic masculinity can kick in then as well, and mm-hmm. you feel worse for it. So I'm glad that Sam redressed it with the person. Obviously, it's his decision not to do that publicly because he said he doesn't want to give it any more airtime. But I felt it was something that needed to be challenged. For people to not know, you know, they not feel like they're alone, not feel like they're on their own and fighting that battle, because it can make a massive difference. And it did to me, you know, without social media. And I've said this before, I don't know if I'd be here now. So we'll move on from that. One that we missed while we wasn't recording, a slightly explosive one. So back in May, just before pulling out of the Wales squad, Corey Hill had an incident, shall we say, where the police were called because him and a few mates were trying to kick in a door, throwing beer bottles at a window inside a mother and some young kids, and he claims that it's the wrong house. Seemingly barely a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, I think there wasn't even a slap on the wrist, because like at the end of the day, like they said, it was the wrong house. So it's an easy mistake to make, I suppose. Like, it doesn't appear from what's come out that any investigation has gone into what actually happened and why they were actually why they were at the wrong house. It doesn't appear any of that's even been addressed.
I don't think we were at the wrong house. No. Sufficiently covers your excuse as to why you're smashing up a house.
No, it's like,
it was going to be a different house. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
But it's like someone going, sorry, mate, I shot the wrong guy.
Don't worry about it. But the you were trying to shoot him.
Yeah.
Like, it's utterly bizarre.
Yeah.
And then we've got the extra issues. So on the back of the incident, I believe that night / morning after, the Blues, I get away with that because it was still the Blues then.
Yeah, Blues blog spot, wasn't it, or something it was called?
Were emailed.
Yeah, on that evening, yeah, sorry, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, that night, so sort of early hours of the morning, which they picked up on the Monday morning. That was then passed on to the WRU. And despite those two things, he was still included in the squad for the game against Zebra. And he was still included in the Welsh Summer Camp, which he eventually dropped out of because he got his dream move to Japan. Really? That's a direct quote from him. It's always been my dream to play in Japan. So it's a bizarre situation. Nobody comes out of it looking good.
Nope.
I know some people have challenged what the Blues blog as put out there, but it seems to be that the Blues kind of said that an investigation was closed after 2 days. Some people are saying they didn't actually see that, and that's just the way
he's shown around. Remorse and apologized and tried to contact the person. Apparently this is, I think this is what was in the release. It was he apologized at the time, understood his actions,
the person made contact said with that he's never directly apologized to her. There's been an indirect apology through the club.
Yeah,
and he offered her £100 on the doorstep as a way of making up for things, which, if you've got traumatized kids, £100 doesn't do a lot to end that.
Nope.
Some people suggested the investigation was still ongoing when he left for Japan, which seems pretty shit because they knew he was going while that investigation was ongoing. So you think they would have maybe dealt with that a little bit sooner so that there could have been some sort of repercussions. The Blue statement says that there was an investigation was fully completed, which then seems to contradict that slightly as well. And the WRU was saying they are happy with what the Blues did. At no point between this incident in May and it coming out last week has any major media outlets like Wales Online or anything like that seem to report that, which is a bit odd because it seems to have been a bit of an open secret. A lot of people seem to know that that was the case. So I think there's added to the people who don't come out of this very well is perhaps the biggest newspaper in Wales.
Yeah, but I think you add to that. It's like if they were aware of it, it should have been something that was run, even if it was a player, not necessarily who it was. But then you also look at it and think, surely when the victim didn't get what she wanted at the time in the sense of like a proper investigation, an apology, blah, 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 that she'd make it known, that she'd make it public. And then at that stage, newspapers, etc., are going to want to be involved and going to be have stories. And you'd think that the powers that be would want to do something about it. Maybe they've done something about it and they're doing something about it is going, yes, Corey, off you go. We'll let you out of your contract. You can go to Japan. However, that's not addressing the problem of the victim, is it?
Well, I wonder if there was, in some cases, people going, well, if we don't acknowledge it, maybe it'll just go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, with Corey going away to Japan, that would have helped the effort as well. And now that it's come out, everybody looks pretty poor.
Yeah.
It does not look good at all.
As if they just tried to sweep under the carpet and not address the actual problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll wait for the news now. There's an ongoing police investigation, but that police investigation isn't into Corey, it's into the way that the police dealt with the initial incident.
Mm.
So I can't see a hell of a lot coming out of that.
No, no, same.
But I think it's incredibly shocking how far it was allowed to go before anyone brought that up.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I suppose while we're chatting about the team formerly known as Cardiff Blues, we probably should mention the news from today.
Yeah, so a father-son reunion happening down at Cardiff Arms Park. Thomas Young joining Di, the latest signing to come through the door at Cardiff Rugby. I've got my views on it, but as the Not Blues fan, I'll throw it to you to open up.
Literally nobody in this world saw that coming. That was the most unlikeliest of transfer ever. It's weird, isn't it? Because Thomas Young on form over the last couple of years is a seven that is there or thereabouts to make a Welsh squad, right? His footballing ability is probably all-round natural footballing ability is probably the closest thing to Tipperick that we've got as a seven. Maybe add into that Foxy. And Cabby maybe is like his footballing ability. But Blues have got 478 sevens at the minute, so I don't really see why we need to have another one. The only thing I can see is potentially somebody like Ollie Robinson's going to be leaving. Maybe he's out of contract. Obviously, you've got the likes of when they're all fit, Nabs and Ellis Jenkins going to be with the Welsh squad. Thomas potentially as well. The three of them could be as part of it once he's back in Wales. So, yeah, I get, like, it was always going to happen. The day that Dai Young was named the Blues coach again, it was obvious that one of his first names was going to be his son. Like, it was obvious he was going to come back. But it just I don't necessarily understand it when it comes to, like, the bigger picture for Wales as well. But especially when you look at something like Ireland, like, and I know it's more control of it in Ireland, but somebody like Joey Carberry was at Leinster, wasn't playing. They go, Ireland go, we need him playing. Joey, go to Munster. Yes, he got injured, but he's going to be playing at Munster because he wasn't going to be picked ahead of like Sexton at Leinster. Surely something like that has got to come in and go in, actually, we need him playing in Wales, but we need him playing consistently in Wales. So let's go and give him to the Scarlets, who've only now got Dan Davies, or like if there was no Basham and what's his name?
Griffiths.
Ollie Griffiths. Sorry, I was going to tell you what things then. Ollie Griffiths at Dragons, he goes there. I don't see, like, the Blues don't need another seven unless there's going to be a massive clear out of the sevens that we've got or back row that we've got in the summer.
Well, I wonder if Will Boyd might be the one as well to be agreed with. The Scarlets desperate for another seven at the minute. Will Boyd go back? I know the terms that he left on weren't great because obviously he was just left for his contract to run out and not be offered. So it wasn't the best terms that he left Parker Scarlett on. But I wonder if maybe he'd go back there.
It could well be. Like,
it's lopsided at the moment, that's Cardiff squad.
Yeah, I think the best analogy I can give it is a tweet that I don't know who it was that sent it out today or who I saw tagged in it. It was a meme from Friends, and it was this picture of when Phoebe's trying to teach Joey French, and it's like where they're having a conversation in regards to second row and a hooker, and then it just goes, we've signed another open side, and it's like just completely just doesn't make sense as to why we need that in the squad, especially when we haven't got a front five.
It was Ian Frugio who put the tweet out. It was his meme. And yeah, it's bang on. I retweeted it earlier on today, and it's bang on. Like, I don't, when you're crying out for certain positions, there's definite weaknesses there that you can spot in that team. You can't say that the back row, and especially open side, is what, like, if he's going to bring a back row in as well, you think you go, right, we need a real big ball carrier.
Yeah, you need, one thing the Blues haven't got, isn't it? We haven't got eight.
Yeah, you haven't replaced Nick Williams. That's the only thing in that back row. So, I mean, it's not a bizarre signing in as much as obviously
he's a great player and he'll be fantastic for us. But he just sort of, like you said, he's a bit lopsided in the sense of doesn't necessarily, he's not a player not a position we needed to fill then.
I've always felt as well, this might be a bit controversial, because of who his dad is, there's been a bit more favouritism towards Thomas. Now, he's always been a good player. He's a very good player. But even when he got his Wales call up, I thought Dan Thomas was a better flanker. And I think if Dan Thomas had been Dai Young's kid, there would have been calls for him to be in the Welsh squad.
There is that, but I also think, and I'm not saying this because it was his dad who was the coach, but there were also times when he was playing at Wasps with, what's his name? George Smith. When George Smith was at Wasps, near the end of his career, the Aussie flanker. And he was playing six because for the better of the team, it was better for the team to have Thomas at seven. Now, George Smith is one of the best sevens ever in the world. And I know he's probably lost a bit of pace and he's all getting on a bit, but surely that suggests that he has got a bit of talent there. But I also think that is, you can add into the fact that it was his dad that was picking the squad.
And also, George Smith was about 96 at the time. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was getting on a bit. You're not going to play him as a out-and-out seven against some of the rapid kids that are there at the minute. But yeah, it was just a bit like...
He was training in between filming scenes for Cocoon, I think, when he was at Wasps. That's how old he'd go by that point. I'm not saying he's not an excellent player. He is an excellent player. I just don't know. Unless there is a clear route or there's someone they're expecting to go elsewhere, it just seems a bit like, oh, we'll have him because he's available. And yeah, it's a strange one for me anyway. Mm-hmm.
Good.
I think there was other positions that the Blues really needed to strengthen first.
Like 1 to 5, 8.
Yeah. And anyway, by the background, no. Yeah. To be fair, decent tens now and a decent nine. Nice Lloyd Williams trying to straddle both. But yeah,
international winger and regional fly half Lloyd Williams. That's his full name now, isn't it?
So yeah. Anyway, Thomas is coming back. We'll see how that goes. And then that sums up our news for today. The other thing that has happened today, and I think Wayne Pivak's probably in a press conference about now as we're talking. I think he was due to be in there from about 2 o'clock. That Wales squad's been announced for the autumns.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel? You're happy?
I think there's definitely pros and cons to it. There's definitely players that should be in there. And the main one I'll let you mention because I know you're his best mate. but yeah, there's this, for example, it's great having Ellis Jenkins back. It's great seeing Anscombe back in there. It's great for, and I can't even pronounce the surname for Christ to be in there. Because as I said on one of our groups earlier on, it's good to see now we've got Christ and God both in the same team. So that'll be great.
Tshuanza, I was told, is the...
Tshuanza, is it?
Tshuanza.
Okay. Seb Davis, why? Simple answer, simple question, why? I don't get it. But yeah, there's...
Because I think as well, who else? I know there's quite a lot of second rows available there anyway. We're packed out the second row. But I think with Seb, it's this idea as well that he can play blindside if need be. So especially when you look at, we've got a game against Fiji in between there as well, where we'll need someone to cover the bench. I'll give some players a rest. I think he could become that man. There's not a hell of a lot. I'd be honest, going into before this announcement and knowing the injuries we had, I thought, shit, this is going to be one of those squads you pick it up and go, fuck. But actually, when the squad came through, it's all right, actually. I quite like that squad. I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, I think it's just like fitness-wise and everyone available, I think it's the strongest, pretty much the strongest squad you could have picked. We add in, obviously, that I know you mentioned it earlier to me, but like Jonah Holmes, how he's not in that squad, I have no idea. Current form is a joke. The fact we've only got one, we've got two fullbacks named potentially in Liam Williams and Johnny McNichol. If that screams to me that Liam Williams is going to be fit for that first game, potentially. That's what that suggests. But to only have three wingers in there, and one of which can't play in the first game, it's guaranteed pretty. I think it's nailed on what our back three is going to be for that New Zealand game.
But the only one is whether Liam Williams is fit, because yeah. As I don't know when I said you the wording when Peel was questioned and they said, will he be fit before the Wales games? And his response was, he won't be available for us for the blocker games until then, which suggests to me that maybe he will be fit for these games. And what Peel was saying was, he's going to link straight up with Wales. He's going to go straight into that setup and they're confident that his fitness is going to be good enough for him to go. And, you know, to be fair, he is that kind of player. He doesn't come back lacking sharpness. He doesn't come back lacking fitness.
Mm-hmm.
He is the kind of player who can come back and go straight back in. Obviously, it's whether he's healed fully from that. I did call Johnny McNichol starting against the All Blacks. I don't think I've put it on any social media. I go back and check, but I'll screenshot if I need to that I called that. I thought that he'd be playing.
And talking about screenshots from calls made on social media, I think we've just won a little bet, haven't we, Steph? Today?
Well, is he buying drinks if he was included or if he wasn't included? What was the deal there?
The deal was...
Harley Worthy.
The deal was that Harley was paying for the drinks for our next pod if Scott Williams is not named in the squad for the autumn.
There we go then.
Well, and he wasn't named in the squad for the autumn.
Well, if I'm feeling better for the All Blacks game, it's a day on the lash, all on RV. I'll invite everyone down.
Yeah, Harvey's paying for everybody.
We'll go somewhere expensive.
Yeah, and if he denies it, we've got the tweet recorded.
We've got the tweet. We've got it all saved.
And to literally phrase it, if he's not in the autumn squad, I'll pay yours and Ryan Worley's bar tab for the following R&R pod. And it's now an hour or so after, hour and a half after the squad's named, and he's not been picked in it. So we're still waiting, Holly. We're still waiting. Well,
I'm assuming this doesn't count as the next pod. Because
the wording was next pod after the squad was announced, which is technically this one. So, yeah, we're still waiting.
Oh, I was pushing for a live pod somewhere where we could have a drink and do the pod at the same time. So, but yeah, back to the point. I think Scott would have been in.
Yeah.
Had he not picked up that injury. Yeah. Obviously, he's come off twice in Scarlett's game. So I think he would have been in were it not for that. And I think possibly Tompkins would have missed out.
One thing I will say is looking at that squad is I have a feeling that for this autumn internationals, there's a likelihood that Jonathan Davis will go back to 13. Looking at the other players, I think Ben Thomas is a 10 or 12. I think Willis is better as a 12. I think Tompkins is better as a 12. So I have a feeling that if fit when he gets to the games, I think Jonathan Davis will be the 13. And he's played really well at 13 in the first few games for the Scarlets as well.
And I think it speaks volumes that as poor as the Scarlets were, Johnny Williams come off the bench and showed glimpses of what he can, because it's the first game back.
Yeah.
They were beaten in the backs anyway. They were beaten, being a bit like the front. Well, they're beaten. They were absolutely mauled. By Munster. But I think we'll see that Johnny Williams, Jonathan Davis partnership for Wales. I think. And I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Johnny Williams. I think he offers a lot. I think he carries well. His distribution's good. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Willis have obviously shown what he can do. But as you've already said, my biggest disappointment is that there's no Jonah Holmes in this squad. Because Jonah Holmes on the right wing looks absolutely devastating at the moment.
Yeah.
I would have definitely included him. I'm a big fan of Owen Lane, Ball and Anders, we spoke about before, but I think Jonah Holmes at the moment is looking like the informed winger.
Yeah, he is. And that's across the board. That's including the likes of Josh Adams. Like, Jonah Holmes is the informed winger, yeah.
He's play very. I know he put a kick out on the full on Saturday, didn't he? But after that, came back, scored two tries. Looks superb. He looks dangerous with ball and hand. He carries. He's a strong runner as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely have had him in this squad, and that ability to cover all bases. I don't, unless they're worrying about picking up another injury somewhere. I don't really know why Ben Thomas is there.
No.
And I say that as I'm a massive fan of Ben Thomas, and I think he'll become a player that Wales will rely on in the future, but he's still young. Other than the Fiji game, I can't see where he's going to come in.
No, and I think he's potentially there to maybe they only go with one of Anscombe or Priestland against New Zealand, and Thomas on the bench as a running option for ten or twelve in the second half. I can't see it. I think they'll go with Anscombe and Priestland both in the 23. But yeah, failing that, Sheedy's probably going to start Fiji. I would have thought bigger pot potentially the other two, if Anscombe plays against New Zealand and we beat them, then Anscombe starts every game, doesn't he?
Well, will he do the same as Gatland was doing and start with Anscombe and bring Bigger on then just to see games out?
I think Pivak's more of a less runnable first. Likes to open it up,
yeah.
Yeah, let's run it first and then let's close it off afterwards. I think he'll be the other way around, I think.
So, but that's what Gatland was doing sort of up until
Yeah, Bigger is the replacement. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Another one that I'm really happy to see included to hopefully finally get his cap is Will Griff John.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Will Griff's.
And that's not for his rugby ability either.
I mean, he's a good-looking guy, I think. Yeah. I think he's a very good-looking guy. So, especially with the beard. Without the beard, less so. Sorry, Will. But, yeah, I think he's a very good-looking guy. It would be great to see him turn out and see what he can do. I think in the forwards...
Just had another look at it. There's two surprises for me in the forwards that aren't in there that probably had a shout and have been playing decent in the start of the season, and that's Rob Evans and... what's his name? Rob Evans and...
Rob Evans, I agree. He's been playing well. He's been carrying well. His scrummaging's been pretty good. Same as with Dylan Lewis. I thought scrummaging was one of Rob Evans' weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And he's really worked on it. Dylan seems to have been working on his, because I thought it was a massive flaw in his game. And it's not a flaw you can afford to have as a prop to not be good at scrummaging. So I think he's been working on that. He's clearly improved on his scrummaging and his set piece play.
Yeah. The other one was, sorry, Josh Turnbull. I'm surprised, like, if somebody like Seb Davis is in there, surely Josh Turnbull offers more. I know he's slightly older, but as 8-6 on a second row, you probably look at that over somebody like Seb Davis.
I'm a big fan of Josh Turnbull. He takes a lot of shit, right? Mm. I think he's absolutely fantastic. His work rate's unbelievable. I think he's... When we did the pod on who do we think is going to be player of the season, I think Josh Turnbull, it's only because I didn't think the Blues would have a good season.
Yeah.
That Josh Turnbull wasn't one of my potentials.
Yeah.
Because you know he's going to turn out week in, week out. You know he's going to give 100%. Generally, he's not included in these camps. So you know what he's going to do. You know, he's going to be there throughout the season, sorry. So, I like it. I think perhaps it is a few years too late for him to be regularly involved now.
Yeah.
So, I do think that maybe it is the right call and to try and bring someone a little bit younger through and try and do something there. Obviously, you've mentioned him already. Chris Juanza. Only just made his debut. I think he's playing for Exeter Uni.
Today. He is, yeah. I saw a tweet. I sent it to a group earlier on. He's found out today that he's been picked in the Welsh squad for the autumn, but he's playing for Exeter Uni against Cardiff Uni in the National Uni Cup or whatever it is today.
Do we think this is to just tie him down before he gets snatched away?
I don't care, because that's what Eddie was going to try to do with Randall and Paolo Dogwu, so I don't care. Give him a cap. He's Welsh, isn't he? Same when it comes to football with Sorba Thomas this week. We've capped him. He's Welsh now. Doesn't matter.
I had to mute then because I was coughing, but that did make me laugh. I did like that. I don't care.
I really don't care. Give him one cap. He's Welsh. That's all it matters. Not like some of these people mentioning no names that are very open on Twitter of being dickheads that don't like the fact that people that are not born in Wales play for Wales, etc., etc. I don't care. He wants to play for Wales. He's said yes to being called up. He's going to have a cap. He's Welsh.
Done. I think they've had that in Scotland this week as well with the South African hooker who's seemingly going to be named in camp this week.
Thor, isn't it? Is his name Thor, isn't it?
Thor. Thor, indeed.
It's just let him play, innit? At the end of the day, let him play. Well, one thing I will say is this, whether he's Welsh or whether he's Scottish, it's a crying shame for Javon Sebastian not being named in any of the squad. So,
I mean, that was one of the most bizarre stories anyway, when he got called in
Scotland
to the Scotland squad.
I'll be honest.
This is still only Scottish-based players, I think, isn't it, in the squad they named today?
I don't know.
So there's still a chance that he can't be included.
Because there's a guy from the Chelsea Sharks in there, isn't he?
I don't think he's been named, is he?
Yeah, there's a guy in the squad from Chelsea Sharks. And
on a seashore.
Yeah, talk about fucking sea shanties.
Yeah, he has been named, you're right.
But yeah, it's like, I'll be honest, until Javon Sebastian was named in the Scotland squad, and then I saw an interview with him about a week later, I genuinely thought Javon Sebastian was like some kind of like Spanish or Argentinian prop that the Scarlets had signed. I had no idea.
I spent a long time thinking he was Argentinian, and then looked into it and went, "Oh no, he's from West Wales."
Yeah.
and then he got called to the Scotland squad, and I don't even know what to think anymore. But all in all, I think it's a pretty decent squad. I'm pretty happy with it. I don't think there's anyone really you can go, well, do they deserve a shot? I don't think there's anyone you can really call out. It is what it is until we get players back.
The only player I will say that on form that he's played in the first three games that isn't in that squad that probably should be is Jack Morgan.
I was going to say Adley Parks. I don't know what Jack Morgan's done to Pivac because I thought he should have been included in the summer squad.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why he wasn't included then, and I think he definitely should be included now.
Because, like, even to that one bit of play, even if you ignore everything else, the one bit of play that he did at the end of the Ospreys Cardiff rugby game a couple of weeks ago, where Cardiff are breaking, looks like we were all through, he lets them go through the line because he can see someone inside is going to make the tackle, and then straight away is on the ball, gets a jackal, and basically Ospreys clear the line, and obviously it's done then and the game's over. But
yep,
just that one bit of play. But yeah, it's we don't really have, like, Ellis is good over the ball. Maybe Ellis is going to be a starting seven, I don't know. We'll obviously see. But Jack Morgan, I thought, definitely deserves to be in that squad. If you're going to pick somebody, like, if you're going to pick somebody who, for me, isn't in form, like somebody like Seb Davis, then, and not pick someone like Jack Morgan who is in form, it's a bit strange.
I think Seb Davis offers the utility a bit more.
No, that's what I'm saying. But, like, he might be utility, but I don't think he's even playing that well. Like, he's potentially cost, like, he got a yellow card in the game recently. He's given penalties away for, no arms tackle for clean up from the ruck and stuff. It's just, like, it's a strange one when you've got someone who's clearly on form, playing well, and has done for a year, 18 months, and he's not even in there.
Yeah, I think Jack Morgan should be in there. I 100% think that he should be included, but
maybe add to that maybe someone like Sam Davis as well. He's playing Sam's very well good for the Dragons.
And if we were giving youngsters a chance, I think maybe Costello could be in with a shout, especially for that Fiji game.
Yeah, I agree.
Sam Costello's looked very good, very mature. He's making things happen.
Mm-hmm. He's even stopping mauls.
And then how mad do you want your call to be? Could we have included Jordan Williams?
Because if you
look at a form.
Yeah, exactly.
In form.
But then we know that Welsh coaches don't pick on form because Dan Evans has never played Wales. And he's been the best 15 in Wales for a number of years. So obviously we know that doesn't work.
Well, I think he's still a bit weak defensively anyway, Jordan Williams, to actually be included. But like I said, it's hard to weigh up, I know, especially when you're sat there and you've got an idea in your head of what you want to cover, what you need to cover. And I think you sort of pre-select what you want in there as much as you can, and then have fit some players around that. As I say, I'm quite happy with it. I'm quite happy with the squad. There's one or two players that perhaps could have had a chance. Obviously, it is the Autumn Internationals. It's not a Six Nations as well. As the unpopular opinion once threw up, are they just glorified friendlies? But no, I'm fairly happy. I'm fairly content.
Yeah, I think the majority of the squad is what, like I said, it's named strongest possibly we probably could have on fitness, with injuries depending. But there are just maybe two or three that you go, well, why is he in or why is he not?
And shall we leave that there? Because I feel like how Jared Evans must feel at the minute, because my ribs are fucking killing me.
Yeah,
I've coughed quite a bit through this. So through the powers of mute and editing, hopefully we'll be able to cut all that out. I did say we'll record this in part, so I will speak to you again later.
Yep.
But for now, ta-ra.
Ta-ra.
Welcome back. Time for part two. So we'll do a as yet untitled quiz of the week. So Wall, still with us for the as yet untitled quiz of the week, and then joining us, special guest for this week, Emily Cupmore's with us. How are you doing, Em?
All right, thank you.
So we brought Em on because obviously Hugo Monya is on Strictly at the moment. Had a difficult time first week. How's he done since then? I haven't watched it.
You have. The second one, he was better. and then we were out on the third one. So I don't know, but I'm just loving all the Hugo and OT rumors. I'm a big fan of that. You said it from day one, didn't you, that they're going to get together?
I think so. I think Hugo and his wife are split up. I reckon that's going to happen.
Oh, he's married, though.
Nah, he's not as good as Hugo. Right, anyway, we're getting sidetracked. So
I'm just talking about the important stuff.
I'm going to give you either-or questions based around rugby players turning up on Strictly Come Dancing.
Yep.
So are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
So first up, Welsh Lothario, star of everything reality for about 5 years, Gavin Ensign. So I want to know, did Gavin Ensign have more clubs in his career or more weeks on Strictly?
Do we answer at the same time or what?
Nah, it's not that serious.
Oh, okay.
But do you think Super Gavin Ensign had more clubs or more weeks on Strictly?
I want to say Strictly because I think he had like 9 or 10 weeks. I'm sure Strictly.
Don't give him a clue. Don't give him clues. No, go on. I am going to say this isn't including his rugby league career. This is union clubs only.
He was on Strictly more.
I think he's like was on Strictly for like 9 or 10 weeks.
Because he didn't he do quite well when they've got clubs is about 8. So it's close, but Strictly more.
Strictly.
You're both going Strictly?
Yeah.
I can tell you that he had 10 clubs in his rugby career and 11 weeks on Strictly, so a point each.
Is there 12 weeks on Strictly then?
I don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. I know they start off on about 16 people and they end up with about 4 or 5 and or 3 or 4, don't they? So it will, yeah, I guess.
Point. So, next up, England winner, if I can say it. England winger.
Yeah.
And Strictly star Ben Cohen. Did he have more weeks on Strictly or did Johnny Wilkinson kick more drop balls at the 2003 Rugby World Cup?
I'm going to say Wilkinson drop goals.
You're going to go drop goals?
I don't want to keep saying the same thing, but I think the same thing because I don't really remember him on it. So I'm going to go Johnny.
You're going to go for drop goals as well?
Yeah.
How many drop goals do you think Wilkinson scored? Well,
7.
It's not a bad shout. He scored 8. But Ben Cohen was on Strictly for 9 weeks.
Oh.
And at some point, you are going to have to pick something different.
we record a quiz and it ends a draw. It's fine.
Yeah, just playing for the draw. I'm just going to go for the same. So up next, not only did he dance on Strictly, he danced the Hack Arena, which went down really fucking well. So Matt Dawson got to the final, and in the final, he did 3 dances.
Yeah.
His overall score for those
God's
3 dances
sake.
Come to more than points he scored in his international career.
Right, well, that's worth
it. And I'll give you a clue. He made 77 appearances for England.
Mm.
And then I've got your 7 tests for the Lions, but I'm not 100% sure what that number is accurate.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. But
I'm not going to ask this question because I think it's going to give Wally a clue, so I'm going to keep quiet.
Well, wait until he gives his answer and then you can ask a question.
I think, because Matt Dawson kicked for a while as well. There was cons and penalties he would have kicked. I think Strictly is higher.
You think Strictly is higher?
Yeah, because working on the average of it being 4 judges, and he's done 3 dances, he could have got up to 120, which he wouldn't have. So I think he's got more points on Strictly.
So I'm going to go with rugby points because I think he was before the 4 judges. I think he was 3 judges. So say it's like he gets 9 on each thing, that's 27. So 27 times 3. So I'm going to go rugby.
Well, I'm going to say I think there was 4 judges.
Oh, fuck!
Because he scored 105 points in the Strictly final. And he's got 101 points for England. And then another 10 for the Lions. So he's got 111. So it was more points at his international
career. I'm intrigued as to when they introduced the fourth judge now.
They've always had it, surely, no?
Nah.
There was definitely four early.
I opt out on this. I know nothing about the technicals of Strictly.
I haven't watched Strictly properly for years, but the early years, they definitely had four judges.
Oh, did they?
Right. They've swapped one of them each, like, quite regularly, but they've always been four.
Yeah, I was too young.
Welcome to the Strictly Come Dancing podcast. It's a straight shoot on this one. Nice and easy. Gabby, Kenny, which one lasted longest?
We've had this conversation before.
I know.
Kenny, because Gabby was shit and she went early.
It was Kenny, yeah, Kenny definitely.
Kenny lasted 9 weeks, Gabby lasted four.
Bloody. Yeah, I knew that.
Which, doing this, I found out there's still more than two more than Carl Vorderman. Carl Vorderman lasted two. And, you know, me and Vorderman, there's.
Best mate now, isn't it?
Best buddies.
Yeah.
Next up, Austin Healey. Did he have more weeks on Strictly or more weeks presenting ITV game show The Fuse?
What the fuck was that?
For those who don't remember The Fuse, nor does anyone else, possibly including Austin fucking Healey.
What was that about?
It was a game show called The Fuse. That is all I know.
It's got to be Strictly, no?
Shall we see if we can find out what The Fuse was about?
I'm guaranteed you Google The Fuse and it'll just come up with a picture of a fuse.
It came up with something totally random. I haven't got a fucking clue what it was. So it had different gameplay. So there was six in a row. Burnout. If a player's fuse is lit and they answer a question right, their fuse stops burning. And the player's fuse that isn't lit starts burning. If a player's fuse is lit and they answer wrong, they lose 10 seconds from their fuse. If
boring.
A player's fuse is unlit and they answer a question right, their fuse stays unlit while the other players keep burning. But if a player's fuse is unlit and they answer a question wrong, their fuse starts burning. It's as simple as that.
How does the board game work, though?
Then there was firefight, and then the final round was called the final fuse.
Since I've let you randomly added it, I'm just going to go with the game show.
You're going to go with the game show?
Yeah.
Well,
Strictly.
You're going to go with Strictly?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you there was 10 episodes of The Fuse.
I know.
And he spent 12 weeks on Strictly. So that makes it 3-3.
I was always going to win, though, because technically there was 10 episodes too much of The Fuse. So there was always going to be Strictly was a winner.
Should have done a tiebreaker, man. As is tradition, as always happens for an either-or quiz, Tom Evans starred on X Factor Celebrity and also on Strictly, but we're looking at his time with TriStar.
Yeah.
And, of course, the binger of bongs, the questionable user of Snapchat filters, Brother Max. Does Tom's effort with TriStar, no diggity, have more plays on Spotify than Max has Instagram followers? Who's got more? Is it TriStar's plays on Spotify or
add it together
Instagram followers?
Or
just no diggity, because we all know that's the seminal TriStar classic.
Didn't Wally search this once? I feel we had this conversation.
I included a question on when we did the Big Fat Quiz of the Year.
I thought so.
That was this and that shit that James Haskell did that I can't remember what it was.
That's
called.
Right. Yeah.
Rigged.
That's right. Yeah.
So who do we think? TriStar's plays for no diggity or Max's Instagram followers?
His Instagram's quite fruity at times, isn't it?
Not as fruity as the videos he didn't put on it.
No, exactly. That everyone else saw anyway. TriStar.
Well, I'm conflicted because I'm thinking if you search no diggity, like that might come up.
Well, so, he's like, gone TriStar.
Accidentally press it.
And this is the final one.
But then your average sort of Instagrammer. I'm going to go Instagram.
You're going to go Instagram. That helps me a lot for this quiz. Oh. You've gone for something different to Wally when it's all tied. I can tell you, Max has 47,000 followers on Instagram. And TriStar have 35,000 plays
on Spotify. I for some reason thought it was 36,000 on Spotify for some reason. So I'm happy with that.
So Em wins the quiz for this week.
Wonderful.
Good effort, Wall. I'm going to let up my cough. That's the as yet untitled quiz of the week. Thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Tara. So Wall, we finish off as we always do. Winners and wankers. Who's your wanker for this week?
My wanker for this week is not a personal choice. It's going to be a choice on behalf of several friends of mine, and that will be Wayne Pivak. One, because he hasn't chosen Jonah Holmes for our good friend Gavin and yourself. Two, for a friend of the pod, Kate Jarvis, the likes of Owen Watkin haven't been picked, the likes of Sam Davis haven't been picked. Personally, a lot of the squad, like I said earlier on in the pod, was pretty much nailed on in regards to injuries. There's no sort of big calls, I would say, for me personally, but I know they are massively annoyed and massively pissed off that they he hasn't been picked off, especially Gav. I think he's a bit distraught when he saw that Johnny McNichol was in the squad and John Holmes wasn't.
The messages of Gav.
I think someone needs to check if Gav's all right, to be fair.
Don't you be throwing my name in here as well. Like, I'm quite happy with the squad. I would have included Jonah Holmes, but that's about it. I'm not
distraught.
No. I would have included him. I think he's in good form. I think the question comes down to, like, I think he's got to play on the wing. Would you have started him on the wing then is a question. So but I would have had him in. But I'm a big fan of Owen Lanes as well.
Yeah.
So yeah. And they're both good guys off the pitch. The dealings I've had with them have been superb. So I'm not too bothered. My wanker for this week is another news that broke in between us recording in three separate sessions. And that's that the RFU Premiership are basically wiping their hands or washing their hands of anything to do with the fact that Exeter Chiefs, all the calls for them to change their branding or just to drop the addresses, to drop the chanting, are just going to be ignored. They're not going to cave in the face of Wasps coming out and making their statement and asking basically that they step in and do something about it and do something as a collective.
The collective is the doing fuck all.
Yeah, they're collectively doing shit all. A typical show of rugby values, as we've come to expect. So that's the biggest wanker for me this week. It's shit. It's utterly shit. My winner for this week is Superman. Superman's my winner this week because the new Superman is now Clark Kent's son and is apparently going to be in the new comic. Came out it didn't come out on Bi-Visibility, it came out on World Mental Health, but I think it's absolutely fucking fantastic. There's some kid somewhere that may now find the strength to be able to come out themselves, whether it be as bi or be as gay or be as a lesbian. There's someone who may find that inner strength to come out, someone who might not be bullied by fucking homophobic dickheads. And when we talk about homophobic dickheads, there was a lot of them on social media around the announcement. People who were completely fine with the fact that an alien can come down, create a fake personality to essentially groom a woman, being a completely different species. But then if he kisses a male, that's too far. They can't get their fucking heads around that. Just the same as when Doctor Who was a woman, they couldn't work their heads around them, as well as they couldn't work out an alien having a vagina, or a woman being a doctor, or a woman being able to use a screwdriver, whether it's fucking Sonic or not. So my winner for this week is Superman. Sticking there to the man, I'm fucking absolutely brilliant. It's superb. And anyone who says, well, I don't really care what his sexuality is, well, then it's not fucking about you. So don't worry about it. Just shut up and read the comics.
Yeah.
So that's my winner for this week.
And then my winner, again, as we've mentioned, obviously we're doing this pod in a couple of stages through today. About half an hour ago, before we jumped back on to record the last bit, it broke, not about Welsh rugby, but Welsh football. The news about David Brooks being diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma stage 2. He's a 24-year-old footballer, professional footballer. Obviously, a lot of people will turn around and say things like, he's well off, he's got a good background behind him, he's an international, he's got a club, but at the end of the day, he's a human and he's got cancer. Everyone gets affected by it. So yeah, we just wish him the best.
Yeah, and a friend of mine's son has recently been diagnosed with exactly the same thing. And I know that obviously cancer is something really close to you and something that's affected you a lot. So loads of support for David Brooks. Absolute brilliant player as well. So hopefully we'll get good news from that in the future. But yeah, all our support with him. And that's it for us. Thanks, Wall, for putting up with me complaining and moaning and having to take rests in between recording an hour and a half of that podcast. It's not been ideal. Hopefully I'll be back if you're my best. Long COVID. Oh, wankers this week. Long COVID. Fuck you, you prick. Because it is absolutely horrific.
I need to add another wanker in there as well, because I've been pissed off by it as it is when I've seen it happen in the past, in the last few months. Especially those who live in or anywhere around the M25 or London. But I personally was affected this morning by those fucking numpties who sit on the floor with their fucking high-vis coats on. I was stuck behind some traffic. Thankfully, it was all cleared within about 10 minutes. But honestly, these fucking idiots need to get a life, man.
But do you have insulation?
I do. A lot of it. If you just look at my pictures of me, I've got a lot of insulation. I don't need anything else.
You mean you personally, I'm at the house?
Yeah, no, me personally. I have a lot of insulation, so they can get fucked. I want to get to work.
Did you wander to the front and explain that, though? I'm well insulated.
I just sat in the car, and genuinely, my only thought in my car was, if I was at the front, I'm driving. There wasn't other cars in my way. I'm sorry, I'm going. So, yeah, that was my only thought today.
Cheers, and that's where we'll end it then. So, thanks very much, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Wally, for coming on and saying, putting up my shit. Well, I'm not well. I don't know how much longer it's going to be like this. Hopefully not too much longer, because I'm really struggling. And we'll get back to normal soon. Cheers all. Thanks. Bye now.
You've been listening to Rock and Roll. If you've stuck with us this far, leave us a review. Follow us not just here, but on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And drop us a message. You're a pretty friendly bunch. It'll be great to hear from you no matter what you want to say. And we'll see you next time. Thanks very much for listening. Bye for now.